If you would, let's turn to Luke chapter 9. We'll start out there. As I promised last week in my, when I was doing Lord's Supper, that was just maybe a little bit of an introduction about what I'm going to do today. So Luke chapter 9, let's start in verse 23. Jesus speaking, he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" I have to apologize in advance. I lost my glasses and I can't see anything. So if there's a little stumbling going on today, that has a lot to do with it. So I wrote really big in my notes so I could actually see this. So nobody has the same prescription I have. My eyes are so different. I can't wear anybody's glasses. So okay. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." That's kind of where, I just want to, base this whole lesson right on that verse. And specifically, let him deny himself. And we're going to divide it into the kind of three sections. Take up his cross and follow me. The first two will probably take most of the lesson. I don't know how much time I'm supposed to have, but we can just take the clock off the wall anyway. Three? I got 3 minutes? Oh. Am I going to get tackled if I go over? Or? Okay. I started to talk about a little bit last week with the Lord's Supper. We'll start out with denying yourself. Right? In the scripture it says deny, himself. I'd like to turn that around, deny myself, deny yourself. Okay, let's make it a little bit more personal. Our modern society, kind of goes really contrary with that, doesn't it? Okay, if we take a look at, social media, what's our favorite thing to put on there is taking a selfie. Okay. I hear a lot of people talking about, self-care. Okay. Christ really kind of turns that on its head here and, tells us to do something that really does not come naturally to us. Okay. Our natural inclination is to, to take care of ourselves. Okay. Christ says, deny yourself. Okay. Deny yourself. You can look in 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Corinthians 4, don't need to turn there unless you want to look at it later. But again, it talks about how, first comes the natural, then the spiritual. Okay. And then 2 Corinthians 4, talking about the spiritual things are the things that are eternal, the things that last forever. Okay, so those natural things, we have to kind of, go against what comes naturally to us, in order to implement those spiritual concepts. Okay, and, this is a perfect example. Deny yourself. Steve's done a great job over the years talking about, it's just something that makes a lot of sense to me, is human nature, the thing that comes naturally, is to seek pleasure and to avoid pain. Okay? Don't we all do that? In many ways. Again, Christ is saying, deny yourself. Let's turn to John 13. John chapter 13. And by the way, our first hour this morning, really, the lesson came at a completely different angle, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is exactly what we talked about first hour this morning. You notice I was kind of silent in there this morning? It's because I'm not going to step on my own. Okay. Right. John 13, verse 4, you know, after the supper, he rises from supper, speaking of Jesus, laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he was girded with. And then he comes to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, will you wash my feet also?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you do not know now, but you shall know hereafter." He didn't understand what he was doing it for. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I don't wash, you have no part with me." So then Simon Peter says to him, "Lord, then not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." You know, kind of Peter, once again, kind of overstepping his bounds. You know, if my feet are a good thing, then, you know, if you wash the rest of me, it must be even better. Jesus said to him, "He that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean in every way, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again and said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." I'm going to get this out of the way right now. Just something in my life in the last maybe 20 years, I don't know if I've talked about this before or not, just a little pet peeve of mine. And I've heard many people use this term over the years and say, "I'm not going to be a doormat." Okay. Sorry. Personal pet peeve. We are to be doormats. Okay. What did Christ just do? What did he do right here? Okay. He showed you how far you're going to have to take that. I mean, this. What did he do? What does a doormat do? Cleans your feet when you walk inside. What did Jesus just do?
Humbled himself.
He humbled himself. Okay. He gave us an example. Now, this is just a tiny example because, you know, he obviously goes very much farther than that. Okay. He didn't just humble himself to wash their feet. He humbled himself, humiliated himself, you know, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes. In Hebrews chapter 12, when it talks about, you know, he endured the contradiction of sinners. Okay, he went so far as to die at their hands, knowing at any time he could get out of it. Okay, so my feeling is, and I guess, again, this is just, you know, one of my pet peeves, and I think we complain about so many things that are not worth complaining about. Okay, there are so many things, you know, that we feel we're being treated wrongly that really don't matter. You know, just kind of keep that in the back of your mind as we're going through this. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. This lesson is not meant to be a commentary on marriage. Okay, that's not what my purpose was here. However, we see, you know, in many of the parables, Jesus uses marriage as an example. We see throughout the scripture God uses marriage, to explain to us his relationship with the church. Okay, these are great examples. So, not that I'm talking about marriage for marriage's sake. It just happens to go really well with some of the things I wanted to talk about. So, can we all agree that, marriage is a good example, or, that these things are there for our illustration? I have to laugh, I understand people's hesitation to nod or to... Anybody who's been sitting in the audience for more than about 5 minutes of one of Mark Miller's lessons, it's a trap. I've learned my lesson. I try, I pay attention to Mark, but I never want, shake my head in agreement or nod my head in agreement or shake my head because it's a trap. Mark has this wonderful, beautiful way of, sucking you in, and he has a very subtle way of letting you know you're a moron without saying it. He lets you figure it out on your own. I am not nearly that crafty or subtle, so if I think that, I'll just let you know. But Mark, I fell for his trap several times in his lessons, and it's like, okay, I'm not participating anymore. So, anyway, Ephesians 5. Let's start in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, one particular spot in here that I'd like to kind of focus in on just for a few minutes, verse 28 and 30. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. So when I talk about, denying ourselves and laying ourselves down for each other, okay, many of those things, again, I kind of mocked a little bit, the selfies, the self-care, the things, what are all these things doing? They're all pointing back to us, okay? Those things where you need to protect yourself will come naturally, okay? And let me also say, some of these things that I'm talking about, we talk about, I said how, that term, the doormat, is kind of a pet peeve of mine. Those things ought not to be in a marriage or in any relationship, okay? We see what the example is here. That, the husband and the wife lay down their lives for each other. Okay, just as Christ did for the church. Okay, it's pretty clear how far he went, you know, to lay his life down for the church. As I often do when I give these lessons, I'm going to embarrass my own family a little bit, or at least try to. Everybody who knows me knows I love the outdoors. I love to go fishing. I love to go hunting. Those are some things that I like to do. Okay. My wife, she likes to go fishing with me, believe it or not. It doesn't happen very often, but every time we do, she's like, man, why don't I do this more? So, everybody knows I love to go ice fishing. I've scheduled a trip to go to North Dakota in January. Okay? And I've convinced my wife that she needs to go with me to go ice fishing in North Dakota for a week. Now, I know, like I said, I know my wife loves to go fishing, but do you think she's going to go to North Dakota with me for a week and spend a week on the ice when it's, you know, North Dakota can be 40, 50, 60 below zero at times. As much as she says she likes to go fishing, do you think she's going because she wants to? It might be a trap, don't she? Again, disclaimer, I said, dear, you need to take the time off or we're going. She agreed. Yeah, and I think my son helped out a little bit because he's going too. And said, Mom, it'll be fun. You'll love it. And there is a great place for her to go sit and watch movies if she gets bored with the fishing. So she's doing that. She's going because I want her to go, not because she wants to go. Now, I hopefully she has fun and enjoys it, and I'm sure she will. But, you know, she's doing something because it's something that I want. Okay, and, you know, that has to go both ways. Now, probably she's going to try to get me to go to Scotland or something. I have no desire. I'm never going to Scotland, by the way. But, so here, you can take your daughters and go do that. But, I read a few weeks back or a few months back, I did a lesson, you know, and talking about, you know, especially we look in, you know, kind of in culture, in pop music, and so, you know, talking about follow your heart, you know. And I read something and it just kind of went perfectly along with that lesson, and it goes perfectly along with this lesson. You know, somebody put on Facebook, you know, this is, you know, follow your heart in quotations, has been, you know, the destruction of more marriages, relationships, and, you know, whatnot. You know, just perfectly proving my point, you know, that you know, there are enough scriptures that tell us, okay, you know, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. It's not in man to direct his own steps. Okay, those are all things, you know, that let us know we can't trust ourselves. Okay, we can't trust our own hearts and our own desires. I wasn't going to do this, but I will, just because it is so perfect. You know, just a little, one sentence from the lesson we did this morning next door. And it's referring to James 4:1. I want is not a cry limited to 3-year-olds. I want what I want, and I will do whatever I have to in order to get it, is the mission statement of most adults. Okay, you know, obviously this is speaking of the natural, you know, unregenerated man, you know, someone who's focused on spiritual matters, who I hope does not think that way. Hebrews chapter 11. Obviously Hebrews chapter 11, referred to as the faith chapter. We see all these examples of Old Testament characters who did all these magnificent things by faith. Okay, it's by their faith that they did. They did not have the power of the indwelling spirit to help them overcome the things that they did. Okay, but one thing I'd like, other than the faith, the one thing I'd like to point out is none of them took into consideration what would happen to themselves. Okay, they did it all, with no regard to their own body, to their own safety, to their own, to their own personal health. Let's just look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He could have had a lot of physical things in that world. Okay? Blessings beyond measure. He chose to suffer. Okay? He chose, and I always appreciate it, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. To lower himself to do that. We referred to Hebrews 12 and that contradiction. I'll just read it once again. In verse 3, Hebrews 12, 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own minds. For you have not resisted to blood, striving against sin. Again, I think so many of the things that we think, that happen to us that are may be suffering, I think you look around the world, we really got it pretty easy. And this is just another one of those I think things. I think in this country and the things that, that we will deal with will be far more internal, in our own hearts, in our own minds. That's where that battle is going to be. I think we talked about it at the breakfast a few weeks ago. There are so many places in the world where people have to, the work 12, 14, 18-hour days just enough to get, to eat that day. Okay, they may work all day just to get enough to eat something. Okay, and we are so, out of touch with reality as far as that goes in this country. John chapter 10. Let's turn there for a minute. John chapter 10, let's start in verse 14. Jesus speaking again, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Now, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And in verse 18, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. No man takes it from him, but he lays it down. And I talked a little bit about this last week. That's where the real power is. Okay, we may think, if somebody's stepping on us or somebody's wronging us in some way, that if we fight back, that's the power. Here's the power. Enduring that contradiction and choosing to not fight back, okay, that's where the power is. Now, we also talked about, Pilate. You know, when he told him, he said, "Don't you understand? I've got the power, you know, to take your life." And, you know, Jesus, you know, obviously, you know, with his knowledge, you know, it's probably kind of, I guess, easy for him to say, you know, knowing what he knows, you know, you have no power at all unless it's given to you from above. You know, we have to have that same confidence. I'm not going to be done in 30 minutes, John. Take up your cross daily. Now, again, you know, not to embarrass my wife at all, you know. Take up your cross. Okay. I'm going to say, you know, except for a few exceptions, your spouse is not your cross to bear. There may be some exceptions out there. Your awful coworker, you know, your boss, those things are not the things that are our cross to bear, okay? You know, I joke about that, but, you know, again, it goes back to the things that, what are the things that are really suffering, okay? What are the things that we truly suffer? You know, the cross, I love Steve's example of the woman in Vietnam that asked why the cross. Why did he die that way? You know, and again, you know, it's that example for us, okay, to know how much and how, you know, how far we're going to have to go, you know, in denying ourselves, taking up our cross. Part of the reason I chose that, you know, that passage in Luke is it talks about take up your cross daily. Okay, the other Gospels don't say daily in that. Again, you know, that really tells us that that's something we have to do, okay? That's something we have to choose to do on a daily basis. Really reminds me, you know, a couple of passages that talk about, you know, that decision, put on Christ. You look at Romans 13 and Galatians 3, both say the same thing, put on Christ, okay? Again, that's something, a conscious decision that we have to make, you know, to be able to do that. As far as taking up the cross, obviously it's a symbol of suffering, a symbol of shame. But James talks about it in James chapter 1. You know, what I've been talking about the whole time, you know, deny yourself, take up your cross. Those are things that are not enjoyable to do necessarily, okay? But what does James tell us in chapter 1? That we are to count it all joy, okay, when we fall into those temptations, into those trials. We have to get to the point of being joyful about those things. Again, another example. I'm kind of cutting some stuff short here because we are getting on in time. Acts chapter 5, the same thing. You know, what did they do after they were told not to speak in Jesus' name? They were beaten for their troubles, and they went away rejoicing that they could suffer. Rejoicing. Now that, again, goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning. It's not natural. That is not a natural reaction to getting beaten and sent on your way. Okay, they went away rejoicing. Do we rejoice when we get to suffer? There are so many things that I could go on for hours with these notes. I'm not going to. The last part of that verse that we started in Luke 23, follow me. Now, that's, as far as my part in this lesson, that's the easy part, okay? Just pick up your Bible and start at the Gospels and go to the end. That's follow me, okay? Luke chapter 19, let's turn there real quick. And I kind of used this a few weeks back in another lesson, but it's, you know, applies here as well. Luke 19 and 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You want to follow him? That's what he came for. Seek and to save that which is lost. You know, I think that lesson that we did then, you know, I kind of, not that I titled it, but, you know, it talked about our Father's business, being about the Father's business. And that's what the business is. You know, seeking and save that which is lost. I've heard Steve say it. I've heard many others say it. You know, it's kind of something that we've heard. You know, we're saved to save others. Okay, and that's the example that Jesus gave. You know, those first, I really spent a lot of time on those first two points because that's where, you know, those are the things that we have to do, you know, in order to make ourselves useful. We talked to Romans 2, you know, that reasonable service, okay, and being the living sacrifice. You know, again, you know, if you don't take away anything else, you know, just know that these things aren't natural to us. We have to implement them ourselves, okay? They're not natural. It takes work to put those things in and to do those things. Let's close Galatians 2. Again, very familiar, probably a memory verse for many. Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. All right, thanks for your attention this morning. Let's go ahead and stand and we'll close.